WMFO in Medford, Rising with Sky Bar. I don't know if you can hear me out there. I'm in Studio C. So hopefully I can. In a short bit, sharing a mic here. In a short bit, I'm going to have Adam Sherman on. We're going to have a lot of stuff to talk about. But as you know, I play a lot of new music on this show. So I'm going to play three fairly new songs, and then we'll bring Adam up. That song you just heard was Let the Kids Have the Scene. They're a new band out of San Antonio. It's called Faulty Cognition, and the song was Let the Kids Have the Scene. As I said, they're off of Somewhere, Somehow, Here We Are. That's the name of the release. But I'm going to play some stuff, and we'll be back in about 10 minutes with Adam. This is a band called Split System.
You didn't want.
All right, let me tell you what I just played there. That was Continental Lovers. The song is called Let's Go Out Tonight. They're from the UK. Linda Mandolin with her latest single, Billet Doux. Split System from Australia. I'm all over the map here. They were from this song was Temporary Freeze off of Volume 2, USA. I'm here with Adam Sherman. I don't know. We'll see how this goes.
Hey, Skybar.
Saddle right up. Saddle right up to the bar. So, initially, we're going to go back a bit before we get into what's going on now. Initially, you're from, is it from Brooklyn, from New York?
I was born in New York. I spent the first couple of years of my life in Bayside, Queens. And then my family moved to right next door to New Hyde Park.
Yep.
And that's where I grew up.
So what brought you here?
The Rat.
Nice. That's a good reason.
Yeah.
So you knew of the Rat? Or you came here to see how that?
We came up to potentially play in a band that was managed by the Velvet Underground's manager, and excuse me, that didn't pan out, and I just stayed. And while I was here, CBGB's happened in New York, so I came from New York when nothing was happening. CBGB's happened in New York and the Rat happened here.
Yeah.
And we learned about all the bands, Talking Heads and the Ramones and all those guys, Blondie, who shortly were up here playing at the Rat, and then the Rat bands were down in CBGB's.
Cool. So you came here, discovered, did you play the Rat a lot?
Played the Rat plenty. The band that I eventually joined was Private Lightning.
Right.
And they were not really a punk band. They were much more orchestral, playing larger rooms. A lot of the bands that played the Rat were, you know, I mean, they were punk bands, but they were playing the Rat because, like, that was the size room they were playing at. Private Lightning, at the time that the Rat really took off, was sort of playing larger clubs.
Yeah, I know of Private Lightning. It was kind of a bigger sound.
Yeah, not a Rat. Yeah. We were not a rat band, but we certainly spent plenty of time at the Rat. Mm-hmm.
And then the Souls, that those were both projects of yours that were fairly successful here.
Yeah, the Souls were after Private Lightning. I joined these guys who were up in Lawrence, and they really wanted a lead singer, songwriter, and guitar player. And in Private Lightning, I had been sort of the secondary songwriter, so I jumped at that, and wrote a bunch of songs that I still feel pretty good about.
Yeah, you so that those projects kind of, for whatever reasons, faded away or fell apart.
Yeah,
and
the Souls
did the solo thing for a long time.
Yeah, the Souls just, we burn out. we just, that was it. We had too many ups and downs. And,
how long was that run with the Souls?
About 7 years.
That's a good run. That's a good run.
Yeah. I mean, I have no regrets. But we, and I, when I stopped playing with the Souls, I just stepped away from music for about 10 years, and I painted, and because that was sort of, you know, what I grew up doing was being an artist, a kid. So I came back to painting and did that for 10 years, listened to a bunch of jazz while I was doing that, and fell in love with Chet Baker, his vocals. And that brought me back to music. I kind of said, you know, I wonder if I can do some jazzy stuff, and I wonder if I could sing in that beautiful way that Chet Baker, I just sort of put everything down and said, I wonder if I could do that. You know, I wonder if I could use my voice that way. And it kind of worked, and I got a solo album out of it. I got January and February came out of that, very, very Chet Baker-esque. Mm-hmm. And that just moved me back into, got me talking to musicians again, and eventually I found my way back to rock and roll.
It's great that you did, because you put out great stuff since then. And sometimes you have to recharge, I guess, and find another spark, and that's... Between Private Lightning and the Souls, that was probably like a 10, 11-year run. That's a long time.
That's right. Yeah. That's exactly what it was, you know, 10 to 12 years, something like that.
So. Going hard at it. And so that's a long... And so you had a... Usually it doesn't take 10 years, but eventually you found your way back to it, right?
And I mean, it's been, you know... I mean, I've had an interesting life. It hasn't panned out exactly as I would have wished. Yeah. And, but what are you going to do? You know, you just keep going.
I find the older you are, the more you see it. It doesn't, it's not always planned and panned out the way you thought it would or should. That's a common theme, I think. Right? Things happen.
Yes, it is.
But what's your process like? Do you just start strumming the guitar and lyrics come, or is it the flip side?
That's exactly what I do. I come from music first. And... If I start with lyrics, they get too intellectual. They don't sing well. You can't really sing them. There's too many words that, you know, they're $10 words that don't sing well at all. And I just find if I find something that's melodic, chord changes that turn me on, and I can just sort of hum and do little things on top of that, lyrics will emerge.
Yeah.
And they fit. It becomes one thing, and it's that's how it works for me. I mean, everybody's different. Everybody's got a different style.
I think that's pretty. I hear that a lot, though. Usually, it comes from the music first. A lot of times with people I talk to. But do you ever have? Are you prolific? Do you? Well, I know the answer to that. I think I can easily say is yes. But do you ever write? Do you ever like put it down, or is it pretty much a constant? There's always something cooking.
There's something cooking, you know, but it's not always good.
Right.
So you kind of cooking it, and you're going, well, I'm gonna have to go back to that, but I didn't like it yesterday, and I'm probably not gonna like it, you know.
Yeah.
And but if you catch a good one, and you start to sort of hone it, you know, it can really be a satisfying process. And I think I would say I'm prolific. I mean, I probably just jinxed myself, but
right. You won't
I do
be writing
take
a thing
it,
for a month, 2 months.
Yeah, right.
Say,
right.
Went on that damn Skybox show.
I take it very, very. I guess seriously. You know, that's such a funny word, but I try to write consistently. I try to come to it at least every couple of days, if not every day.
Cool. So you put a couple of solo records out, and then Rock Garden Records happened, and I kind of know how that went down, but you can tell people. I know that Mike and Todd and Lisa were instrumental and probably the reason you're on that label, but if you want to touch on that briefly, how that came about.
Well, those guys, you know, they Todd and Lisa spoke to Mike Newman, who's a DJ here on WMFO, mm-hmm. and I guess they were asking him, who should we be looking at, you know? And and my name came up, you know, very thankful for that, and they got in touch with me, and everything that they suggested they could help me with, was very attractive. And I just, I liked them immediately, and I just said, sure, you know, let's do this. And I had this tune, I don't know if we're going to get to it tonight, but If You Think was in the can already, and I and they were looking for something to release. And I said, well, why don't we release that soon? Let's do it.
Yeah.
So we just jumped on it, and we got to working together. And it's been, you know, it's been sweet since then.
I can probably get, I have that in here. I can probably get that in. But first, we're going to talk about Massachusetts, tongue twister, Massachusetts Night, which is coming out in a couple of days, I guess? Like
coming out
officially?
Friday. It's yeah, I mean, that's the day.
We're going to play it now, but it's coming out officially.
Well, we're going to debut it on the air tonight, so,
A little you know. Something about that soon.
Yeah. There was a woman in my life that was kind of mysterious and kind of, as the song says, wild. And I really, I found her to be very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And this song is just really about kind of the way our relationship was. The way, I mean, and we really didn't have, you know, we didn't have an intimate relationship, but we were buddies. And I really kind of liked her, you know?
Sometimes
and you can hear it in the song.
Buddies are a lot deeper than an intimate relationship.
Yeah.
Right?
So yeah.
They're real.
But I tried to be her friend, and I tried to be near her and help her. And this is a song about, you know, kind of loving the night.
All right. We're going to play it. I'm going to play one other one of yours just because... one of your solo stuffs, because I like it a lot. But here is Massachusetts Night for the first time on the airwaves.
Massachusetts Night is sleeping like a dog. She's half an hour late. She always takes that long. When she pulls up, she got a new tattoo. It's like a hurricane, and it's totally true. Sandpaper voice and a diamond stud nose. The deeper and deeper I fall, she's wild. Massachusetts night, yeah, she's wild, and she loves Massachusetts, Massachusetts night. She's a lover and a fighter, a drinker and a driver, and I'm all alone. More than I want her, the tighter I hold, faster and faster she goes. This is why, and she loves a Massachusetts night. Yeah, she's wild, and she loves Massachusetts, Massachusetts night. Out in the human night, there's a halo around the parking lot of light. I feel small and insignificant, trying to imagine how I'd ever fit into her. She's wild.
Self-Destructive Heart off of Triangle Sky, and before that, Massachusetts Night, first time heard from Rock Garden Records, from Adam Sherman. And I don't know, you want to try to see if we can get one played in this closet?
Oh, so we're going to do that now? All right.
Yeah, you can talk.
So everybody has to, you have to understand, you're listening to this, we're in a very tiny little studio here because the big studio is broken. And we got one microphone between us. So we're going to make a bunch of noise now. Yeah. I'm going to get my guitar on.
I'll babble while you... Yeah. I'm glad Adam said that because I've been in this studio 10 years ago, I think I did a show in this studio, and I didn't have a guest. It was just me. But like Adam said, this is basically... It's like playing in your closet as opposed to Studio A, which we are normally in, with a big room... Big board in front of you, four mics. So, you know, there's no, okay, the guy's got to swing the mic over to me, and then I got to get back to him. And now he's got to try to play in a small area. So we'll see how it goes. But considering, I think we're doing a pretty good job of it. Working well with what we have here. But I'm going to let Adam, and there might be a delay here because after Adam's done, we got to, of course, situate the mics. But it shouldn't be that long, but... I'll let you give it a go.
All right, let's see what happens. Let me not, don't want to put this guitar in your nose.
No, I'm good.
Yeah, okay.
First time for everything.
Madeline, your soft and dusty perfume is clinging to the fabric of my jacket. I thought that you had gone, but you were right beside me, your sylph-like silhouette so strongly backlit. I couldn't see your eyes, but I hope you were beholding the person I believe that I could be. There is no right or wrong, you're where you belong. I am an outsider trespassing. We sat on cement steps, smoked a hand-rolled cigarette.
You spoke straight from your heart. You spoke so clearly. And when I heard you laugh, I found that I was smiling. Caught between the melody and silence. There is no right or wrong. You're where you belong. And I am an outsider trespassing. The house is coming down about a month from now. You'll go somewhere and lead your life completely. And drink expensive scotch from a fingerprinted wine glass. And never know the mark you left on me. There is no right or wrong. You're where you belong. And I am an outsider trespassing. Madeline, your soft and dusty perfume is clinging to the fabric of my jacket.
Very nice. Very nice. I think we pulled it off. Never mind the squeaky chairs and all. Yeah, but that's a beautiful song, Adam.
Thank you.
You write very personal. I guess a lot of people do, but I almost think you even more so. Your songs are very personal, and do they help you? Like, does it help you to sing about experiences that you've dealt with?
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's important to me that the songs be true and ring true. They have to seem true to you too, or else they. I'm not sure why I would be doing this.
Yeah, you know, they've always hit with me. So congratulations on that record. Is there going to be what's going on with the solo stuff? I know you're a busy guy. We're going to get to the Eaters in a minute, but
yeah.
Are you going to do a solo
release?
Yeah,
I'm going to do a live album.
Wow.
Big, long live album on Rock Garden Records.
Wow.
And those guys are going to help me out with it. It's going to be
breaking
great.
News.
It's going to be great, yeah.
We're going to do it live from?
Well, we're not sure yet. We're looking for a place that we can, you know, dominate. We're looking for a place that we can rent and have for an afternoon and an evening, set up, you know, mm-hmm. good tech stuff, and put on a really nice concert.
So Destination Unknown right now.
Yeah.
You're working on it.
Might
yeah.
do the Warehouse 11
yeah.
might be where we do it.
Yeah.
We're also looking at the Rockwell Theater in Davis Square.
Okay.
Those are possible places. Either of those would be lovely.
I've never been to the Rockwell, believe it or not.
They kind of change the configuration from time to time, but it's basically a small theater. It's always been, you know, it's always been seating.
Is it a downstairs thing?
Yeah, you go downstairs to get there.
And how big is it? Like what capacity?
Probably 170, something like that.
That's a good size.
Yeah.
It's bigger than like the Plow.
I thought it's a small room. It's a small theater.
Oh, all right.
It's
that's,
very
that's
nice.
That's a good size, though.
Yeah.
I mean, everything's so like kind of congested and cramped. I didn't think they'd fit. Who'd have known they'd have a 170-seat venue down there?
Well, don't quote me on 170 seats, but I think it's at least 100 and yeah. probably more than that.
Yeah, that's good. All right, let us get to the Nervous Eaters, because they're a band. I've been around here a while, and they're one of the first bands that I would go see, along with the Neighborhoods and the Outlets, and back in the mid, early 80s, Nervous Eaters were a staple of mine. When did you first hear about the Nervous Eaters?
Well, I used to go see them all the time. I mean, they were the house band at the Rat.
That's right.
Every time I mean, they were there. It's like every time I went, somebody was playing with the Nervous Eaters, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. No, I loved them. I loved them. I used to, you know, go to see them. But they were a lot of good band, real kids.
Oh, yeah.
And
it was a tremendous, and today, this is a good time, too. Like, that gets lost on some people. It is. the music is kind of, the local scene's kind of died away or gone. It's as good as it ever was, but it was great then, too. I mean, and what happened was that's where you first got into the local scene and then you got hooked, like what happened with me, and it's just carried on. But you needed something to first get you going, and for me, it was that scene, those bands from that time.
Yeah. No, that was a singular and special time. Not too many bands around that are as good as any band you could see there on any night. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
And so, obviously, you knew of the Nervous Eaters. You're a fan. You used to go see them all the time.
I used to see them all the time.
How'd you end? It's hot in this room, isn't it? Studio C here. Closets tend to be like that. But anyway, so when did you become how'd that go down? It must have been cool as hell to become a member of the band.
It was cool as hell. They called me up. They called me up.
Cold call.
We're looking
for
a guy. Yeah, exactly. This is Dave from the Boom Boom Band. Hey, Dave from the Boom Boom Band. You see, my little story, I always tell this to Willie. Mm-hmm. Whenever I see Willie, he's so sick of me telling him the same story over again. I finally learned that just be quiet. But I went to audition with Dave, who's the drummer for the Nervous Eaters now, and Seb, who were the rhythm section that became the Boom Boom Band with Willie Alexander. Yep. I auditioned with those guys, and I didn't make the audition, but Billy Lucidian made the audition.
Okay.
The next day, he came down from New Hampshire. So it's like I came this close to being a punk rocker back in, you know, and instead it didn't pan out that way.
Ended came up
in,
full circle.
In Private Lightning. But it's Dave that calls me on the phone, you know, and he says, you know, we're looking for a thing, and we're looking for a guy that can sing and play really good rhythm guitar, and we rehearse on Cape Cod. And I was like, Cape Cod, how long am I going to take to get there? And then I said, yes, okay, I'll be there. When? And haven't looked back since.
Yeah, and the Eaters, you know, they're like active. Monsters and Angels, was it last year or the year before?
It's a little bit.
It was a while ago.
Like about a year and a half ago, yeah.
But there's another full length on the way. It's not out yet, is it? But there's another.
August.
Okay, so there's one on the way. So, yeah, that's what there's a bunch of singles. You've dropped a couple singles, a couple coolest songs in the world on Little Steven's Underground Garage.
We got one right now.
We got one right now that I think I'm going to play. There's so much going on with the Eaters that. Don't Need to Make You Mine, is that the latest one?
Don't Need to Make You Mine.
And
I'll say one thing about that, Skybar, which is Steve Cataldo has been the sole writer for the Nervous Eaters since the inception of the band. It's been Steve's band, 100%. I am so absolutely beside myself, honored and thrilled to say that Steve Cataldo has allowed me to write some songs for the Nervous Eaters.
And you write it's just, great stuff.
It's just, well, I appreciate that, but you know, for a guy like Steve Cataldo to make room like that and to embrace it is, you know, it touches me. So thanks, Steve.
Well, some people appreciate get set in their ways and they don't move, and thankfully he's willing to bend a little, and I think it's a good thing, yeah.
Well, it's a good thing for me.
Yeah. I'm not going to play that right now. Because I'm a huge Eaters. What is it? Oh, it's 8:40. See what happens when I have an hour.
Well,
we get to talk.
Yeah, you're talking. You know.
All right. I'm going to play an old Eaters song just because I like it a lot. And I'm going to play a couple of newer ones. Come back with Adam, and we'll. I think that went okay live. I got one more in you.
Maybe. Let's see what we got. We'll
see how
we
the
could
songs
ask.
Go.
We could ask Mike Newman how it sounded. I guess.
Well, yeah, he's on this somewhere. All right, I'm gonna play some songs. We're gonna get back.
Yeah.
If under the influence of anything, never even think about getting behind the wheel of a car and driving. People die that way. Public service message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio. That's my speed version of that. All right. Just heard Nervous Eaters, Want You Like Before from Monsters and Angels. And I went way back to Hot Steel and Acid for On the Avenue. So we're back with Adam. And so you got Carissa Johnson in the band.
Yeah, we got Carissa Johnson in the band.
And is that you? How'd you get her on board?
We had done some work with her. A most valuable player, and she is a photographer as well, and does all kinds of music business things to keep busy. And we had done some photo sessions with her, and she got to know the band. We were very comfortable, and we were thinking about making a change with bass players, and it just seemed like, wow. You know, what if we were able to get Carissa in this? And she said yes, and we said excellent.
Yeah, so. She's not only a great musician, talented, as you say, photographer. She's just a great person as well. One of my favorite people in the scene.
Yeah, she's a very, I keep using the word special tonight for some reason, but she is unique. And something else.
She is, and I think it's broke up the boys' club, but I think it's I think you said off air, it gives everyone a little shot of like almost some energy.
Yeah, it's kind of changed the whole demeanor of the band.
Well, that's cool. It's 8:46. I gotta play Knockdown Day because it's. It's probably my favorite song of yours, and I think most people, you must know this, most people probably feel that way from when you play it.
Sure.
It's like a sing-along.
Yeah.
And it's, I guess technically it's a Christmas song, but I love it all year long, right? I mean, but, and it's not a happy song, but I love it.
No, it's not a happy song.
But
and
I
people
love it.
People hear it as kind of a downer sometimes, but you know, it's about persevering. That's really what it is. You get it, when you get knocked down, you get up. That's what you do. You got to, you know. Otherwise, you go nowhere.
Yeah, no. I like I said, it's one of my favorite. Did you know? Sometimes you know. Did you know when that came out that this is something? Or did you just think it was just another one of your songs, and the crowd reacted?
One for a while, and then you start to notice that you're reaching people with it, and it's always a satisfying feeling to notice that. Something that you've written that you care about is actually touching someone else, and you're doing it with music, and it's something.
And the Eaters reworked this, and it's on. It'll probably be on a future release.
This was released as the B-side of a single, and it remains that way. But it's available. It's available on all the streaming places. Yeah. That single, which was Vampire on side A, and B is Knockdown Day. They're digital tracks out there in the world now.
Yeah.
So,
I'm also gonna play Don't Need to Make You Mine, which is the latest. Coolest song from the Eaters on Little Steven's Underground Garage,
This week it's they're probably playing it right now.
Yep, as we speak, a lot of firsts are close to first tonight with this show. But I'm gonna play Knockdown Day and Don't Need to Make You Mine, and then we gotta kind of button things up because time flies when you're having fun. This is Knockdown Day.
But I've been keeping
There you have it. Don't Need to Make Your Mind. Nervous Eaters. Before that, What did I play before that?
Knockdown Day.
That's right, Knockdown Day. See, I didn't type it in correctly. It's all right. I'm flummoxed here, but hey, we pulled it off, Adam. Did a whole show in Studio C. WMFO in Medford, Rising with Sky Bar. I got to get in there. What else? Anything else you got for us?
Well, I do this residency at the Plow with my band, which is a really fine band with Lauren Parks on the cello, Jeff Song on bass, and Chris Michaels on drums. We're there the second Sunday of every month, and that this month it's going to be the 12th of May. The 12th of May, Sunday from 4 to 6. And it's worth it. It's a great hang. And the Plow is wonderful. There's that. And then Rock Garden Records is going to have a showcase in July. And we'll be playing with Robin Lane on the 26th of July, which I believe is a Friday night, at the Warehouse 11 in Union Square, Somerville.
All right. We good?
We good.
Thanks so much for coming in, Adam. And
Skybar, thank you for having me.
Yeah, my pleasure. Always. Once again, WMFO in Medford, Rising with Sky Bar. I'm going to leave you with, we played Knock Me Down earlier, and this is also a song about being knocked down. These are the Outlets. See you next week. Thanks for listening. WMFO in Medford.